What's up, cream pies? My name's Austin Ayo. Buckner.
Trevor Holder.
Corey Boone.
Skull Admiral Dustin Wilson.
Oh, my boy.
That was hot.
Hey, guys.
Welp, I'm hard.
This was another ADD episode.
Not really.
Sure.
I feel like it did have a theme.
We definitely tied it together.
If we call this episode Finish the Story, then we get to talk about fucking Cody Rhodes. Ooh. We get to talk about me. I get a tattoo. That's a story.
We got tattoos.
And then we talked about storytelling.
That's the name of this episode for sure.
Live service games. Yeah. Finish the story.
We did.
Yeah. Cody Rhodes' big dumb face.
But it was gorgeous. Come on.
What?
Cody Rhodes' big dumb face.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Not as pretty as Roman Reigns, but...
Roman Reigns. Oh, man. That's another thing I forgot to bring up. The fucking interview Roman Reigns had where that interviewer asked, "Hey, how's your cancer?" Have you not seen that?
I've seen it.
It's going pretty sick, man. Yeah.
And he's like, I'm still on chemo every day.
He was world champion of the largest professional wrestling company in the world.
For damn near 4 years.
4 years. And he takes chemotherapy medicine every day.
Every single day.
What up?
And he still looks like that.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just going to have to live with it. It's something I'm going to have to deal with the rest of my life. But...
champ status.
Mm. Ooh, I said earlier, this is just random. We do this every fucking intro.
Yeah.
We talk about random shit. And I told you yesterday that my man crush in wrestling was Adam Cole, and I changed it. So I'm going to ask you, if you had to mouth kiss a pro wrestler, who would it be? But it's got to be a dude.
I would. LA Knight.
Yeah.
LA.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Hulk Hogan.
Because of the mustache.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Seems cozy.
And I only know his name, so.
I mean, I'm with Dustin on this one.
LA Knight?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Claudio Castagnoli.
Let me talk to you.
Wait a minute. What about Orange Cassidy?
Fuck
Orange
Cassidy.
Orange is a beautiful man. You just want to mouth kiss Orange Cassidy because he looks just like you.
Yeah, it's like looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Nerd.
I need you to cosplay as Orange Cassidy now.
I'll just walk around with my hands in my pockets all the time.
Pretty much.
No, Miz, because he should have been Johnny Cage, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Wardlow.
Wardlow's a handsome devil.
He'd sweep you up.
Fucking.
Touch your ass a little bit.
What about Ryback?
All right, let's talk about touching asses. Yesterday, I am laying down face first on a massage table, getting the back part of my arm tattooed. So I'm laying down. My arm's like this.
Uh-huh.
And I feel a firm slap on my ass. I jump to the goddamn ceiling while there is a needle in my arm. I was doing heroin.
The opportunity was there. I could not stop myself. I just went up and...
So if there's one like fucked up line back here, it's because of dipshit.
Hey, you'll never forget though.
Not on the left.
I finished my story.
Jesus.
Alright. Anything else we want to talk about before we fucking leave?
No, I think we covered it.
Cool. You want to tell these people to sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Ice Cream Sunday Podcast?
Hey, sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Ice Cream Sunday Podcast. 101?
101.
101.
101.
Zoe 101.
Fuck you.
Ned's Declassified. Nickelodeon.
Courage. Shout out to Dan Schneider.
Dan Schneider.
Courage the Cowardly Bob.
So normally, I do not, like, hot dogs do not appeal to me at all.
What?
There's a point to this.
There's a point.
All right.
But you get me in front of like a few thousand people, like at Twin Cities Con.
I become the Glizzard King.
I become the Glizzard of Oz. For whatever reason, fucking a hot dog sounds delicious.
Queen Elizabeth.
How many times did I hear you say that this weekend?
Absolutely nothing but hot dogs
weekend. Hey, dude, I'm hungry. What do you want? Man, I think I want a hot dog.
I think it might just be because it's always like the cheapest item on a fucking convention hall menu.
A fucking $5 hot dog.
There's a difference between like going to a restaurant and eating a hot dog. Gross. You go to a place
where the fuck serves hot dogs at a restaurant?
That's what I'm saying.
Ted's Coney Island.
Have you ever been to Sonic?
Yeah.
But then you go to a like
that's not a restaurant, that's a fast food joint. You go to a convention.
And it's like, I need the most disgusting thing possible. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the hot dog is always the best.
To your point, you're like, it's not a restaurant, it's a fast food place. If you go to a fancy sit-down restaurant and order a hot dog, you're a serial killer.
Sir, can I have your finest dog, please?
I want to now make a 5-star fancy restaurant. Nothing but hot dogs.
Wasn't that... there was a ramen place or like a pho place called Crunkwich on the weekends after Crunkwich closed. So it was like from 10 to 2 a.m. It was exclusively like a hot dog place.
An artisanal hot dog
place.
And
it was actually pretty good.
I would call it Weenie Hut Jr.
Weenie Hut Jr.
I know someone whose nickname in the Fortnite group chat I was telling you guys last episode. There's a person on there. Her name's Cheyenne. And her nickname in the group chat is Weenie Hut Jr.
Oh my god.
What I love, though, is like, I did get chicken strips at Twin Cities Con. They were fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it's hit or miss with chicken strips because sometimes they'll have them ready and sometimes they'll be like, you got to wait 5 minutes because we got to deep fry them. Hot dogs, always ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think street meat is going to be any safer than
street meat? It's episode 101, street meat.
Well, okay, but these hot dogs weren't bad.
They were Nathan's.
But they had so much better stuff. Okay, they had these hot honey. God. They were hot honey cheese deep fried balls.
Smashburger has mango habanero crispy chicken sandwich. Mm. It's so good.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with what I was talking about.
I know.
I was talking about hot deep fried balls, and you're like, oh, yeah, look at my mango.
Yeah.
No, but these balls were delish.
Leave it in.
Pause.
wait. No.
These balls were delicious. Episode 101.
These balls were delicious.
Delicious. Balls and street meat.
That's all we ate was hot dogs and fried shit. Well, yeah. And pause.
Jesus.
But we were there for fucking, 10 hours? And we had...
I sat in that chair for 13 hours over 2 days.
And we had... You had two hot dogs?
Yeah. It looks really good, by the way.
I had a bag of chips.
What? The tattoo?
Oh, yeah. Tattoo,
thanks, bud.
Yeah, that was a whole thing. So Mr. can't get a new debit card over here.
Oh. So Jesus Christ, yeah.
We're at the convention hall and they have ATMs there, but his debit card's all fucked up.
I'm missing half the mag stripe on the back. I thought the mag stripe is built into the card. It's just a film on my Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
And the whole, 3 days before I'm coming up here, he goes, hey, just so you know, most of these venues or most of the people here don't take credit card or anything. They just take cash. So I come prepared. I bring like $300 in cash with me. Mm-hmm. And then we get there, and lo and behold, everybody takes Square or debit card or whatever, Venmo or PayPal. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I've got cash. Thanks for making...
The thing is, I thought she... I paid it to her a deposit, right, over Venmo before the convention even started, so she could start doing the drawings. Then I thought I would just pay her the whole thing afterwards. So the first day, I didn't bring her any money.
No money. He brought
no
cash.
So that's why
cash.
I was like, oh, there's no reason for me to have money on Friday. I'll bring it all on Saturday because I don't want to carry around $2,000 fucking dollars in cash for 2 days. You know what I mean?
How much did it cost you?
About $2,000.
$1,500. And then I tipped her an extra $500, which is a lot. But they say you should pay your artist 25%.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, 25% of $2,000 would be another $500. I budgeted for $2,000. Okay, I was like, I'm going to pay you, no matter what you tell me, I'm going to pay you that much. I spent 13 hours with you.
Yeah.
You did
nonstop.
You did one other small tattoo before I got there, which is why she told me to come at 5 instead of when they open at 2 on the first day. She did literally one other tattoo in front of me, and then I was her only client.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to pay her
time
a lot.
Yeah.
Because you could do 5 30-minute tattoos, and then in 2.5 hours, you made $500. Right. So I was like, I need to tip you a lot.
Make it worth your time.
So yeah, this was, she charged me $1,500. I paid her a lot more.
You were at a convention, so that's exactly. They're showing off their art.
Yes.
And instead of being able to show it off in pieces, it's just one piece. Yep. It's like, fuck.
To be completely honest, this would have been better for independent sessions instead of a 2-day long thing. Like, if it were me, I would have gone probably 4 or 5 sessions. He did this powered through for 13 hours. Yeah.
Fuck that.
I'm a big, strong boy.
So I bet it felt great.
The $2,000.
It did feel pretty good.
Makes sense for what she did because she put so much detail into this.
I don't know, like, multiple sessions and things like that. Like, obviously, this is my biggest tattoo. I only have, like, one other tattoo. I have 3 other tattoos, but this is the only, like, real art one. Yeah. The other one's just words. So the way that she did it was awesome because she was like, I'm going to line it first, then shade it in, and we're going to finish, like, one element at a time. So then the second day, I don't have to go back over that part that's going to be really, really sore.
Yeah.
So, like, she was like, I'm going to try to make this as painless as possible. Then she got to this fucking part, and I wanted to fucking die. Dustin was sitting right there. I felt bad, but I was like, I'm putting noise-canceling earbuds in. I'm cranking Coheed and Cambria as loud as I can. And I'm like, I don't want to hear anyone. I don't want to look at anyone. Like, this
part. You were going to disassociate.
This part as close to my, like, right here. This when she lined this up, it was the worst. Because it's, like, it's close to the armpit. Like, the really, like... Oh, it sucked. And then this part down here, like close to my elbow, also really sucked. But the rest of it, like, it felt really good, actually. The shading, like, almost put me to sleep.
We got to go back to that first night, though, because we're getting ready to leave.
Oh, that's
and
right.
We're trying to settle up. She wants some money now. And he doesn't have any money. I've already spent the $300 that I bought because I got, 3 tattoos that night?
Yeah.
And so I didn't have any cash on me. And so we're getting ready to leave. And he's like, okay, so I'm going to go out to the ATM, get money, and we'll come back and pay you. We go out there. ATM doesn't take his card.
Did you leave something with her just so, like, as a promise to come
back? I was like, I'll leave this water bottle here as collateral.
Literally nothing. We left nothing. We walked outside. We were full expecting.
The ATM is right outside the front door.
There's 2 ATMs right there on either side of the doors. We go out there. He puts his card in, doesn't go. And he sits there for a minute. He goes, oh, fuck. I'm like, what? He's like, it's probably my card.
Yeah.
And he holds up his card. And half the mag strip's missing. I was like, well, of course. And it doesn't have the chip reader or anything. So we're sitting
there.
The
ATM doesn't have the chip reader. Yeah. Which usually.
They do.
They do.
You put your full card in. This is one that you like. You put it in, you pull it out real quick. Usually they're chip readers and they take your whole card.
Yep.
They give you your money and then you take your card and then that opens up the door to take your money.
Yeah.
Yeah, so usually I'm like, I'm golden, man. I don't need a new mag stripe.
So we're sitting there and we're thinking about it. We're like, what can we do? What can we do? And I was like, okay, well, here. Mine works. Send me the money over Venmo. I'll pull the money out. We can go give her the money. Because we felt bad because we were talking to her and she was getting a little upset.
This is also, and I cannot stress this enough, and I hope Hannah's watching. The baddest bitch on the planet.
We love you. You're perfect.
She's
your artist.
Yeah, she scares the fuck out of me.
She's intimidating.
She's a total sweetheart, but she looked like she was going to fucking kill me.
She was getting a little upset, and then my guilt complex kicks in. I'm like, well, we got to give her something. We got to give her something because I just felt bad that we sat there for how long we were there, and then we're like, okay, well. Fuck it. We'll see you tomorrow. Maybe.
Yeah.
That's kind of what she felt like.
But from my perspective, I'm like, please trust me.
Yeah.
Like, one of two things that's going to happen. I'm going to leave you and never see you again. I'm going to leave with a half finished tattoo that looks like shit. I mean, what she did so far looked great.
It was
awesome. Like,
it wasn't finished.
Not completed. Yeah, it looks like shit. Or I'm going to go to somebody else to finish it and I'm going to have to pay them anyway. So like, I'm coming back, dude. We've been talking about this tattoo for 6 months on Instagram. Like, so I'm not going to leave you. I promise.
We're standing out in the lobby.
Of course, she doesn't fucking know me.
He sends me $500. I was like, okay, I'll go pull it out of the bank. So I go over to the ATM, do the thing. It only lets you take $200 at a time. So I was like, okay, take $200 out, put the card back in. Error. Cannot read card. I go, what the fuck? I just took money out.
Mm-hmm.
Put it back in. Error. Cannot read card. Okay. So then I'm like, well, maybe this ATM's fucked up. So I go over to the other one, put my card in. Error, cannot read card. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
This would be a fucking nightmare scenario.
I was starting to panic.
It gets so much worse.
I was starting to panic. Shit. So I was like, okay. I was like, well, I still got $300 that I can't pull out. I pull out my phone, get an alert from U.S. Bank. There's a fraud attempt being blocked currently of $202 from Iowa, wherever the fuck we were.
Iowa Event Center.
Yeah. Is this valid? I'm like, oh, they think that I'm getting scammed and somebody's trying to steal money. It's me. I'm trying to steal my money. Well, I'm trying to steal your money that you sent me.
Yeah.
So we figure that out afterwards, but she's already gone by this point. So,
But no, so
we gave her $200.
$200 we could.
That I got pulled out, and then we ended up pulling out the rest of the money the next day.
Okay.
But part two of this story.
All right, let me tell the story. So we give her the money, and I'm like, all right, cool. She's not going to murder me. Don't have to worry about getting stabbed
because it was very close.
And then we're just going to walk to my car and we're going to go home. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to go get some food. And I pat my pockets and there's no keys. Amy got a tattoo earlier. It only took her about 90 minutes. She went home.
Badass tattoo, by the way.
My keys are in her purse. So she has to come all the way back to Des Moines, give me the keys so we can go home.
I would have been pissed.
I didn't push him down the escalator, but it didn't pass my mind.
Yeah, so I called her, and I was like, hey, do you remember when I told you not to forget my keys? And she was like, they're your keys. And I was like, bitch, I know it's my fault. Could you give me 10 minutes to just be mad at you? I will take the blame, but God damn it. Like, let me fucking pass the blame to somebody else for 10 minutes. But it was fine. I downloaded Uber. We walked the skyline. Yeah. We walked the skywalk and eventually got an Uber. We went to Abelardo's. That's the only place that's fucking open post COVID.
And ate the greasiest Mexican food. And it was wonderful. It was so good. Dude. And I didn't finish it and left it in your refrigerator.
You did. We're going back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was delicious.
Yeah. And it became a very short night because of that, but
we had an awesome Uber driver.
Wonderful. Yeah, dude.
He was from Canada.
Yeah, he's from Montreal.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
He's like a black dude with like a thick French Canadian accent. Yeah, it was
awesome. Every time I get like an Uber driver, which has only been like 4 or 5 times, it's always been someone who's like not from around this country. And if I do, the ones that are from around here, like that area, pieces of shit.
You're like, fuck it, I cancel the ride.
Yeah. So I was in Vegas, we took like 3 or 4 Ubers while we were there. And like, we got a guy from like Kenya, we got a guy from Canada, and then we get the one guy from Vegas.
Yeah.
And he's driving a minivan.
Yeah.
We hop in, we're like, hey man, how's it going? We're a little intoxicated, not like super shitty, but you know, we're a little drunk. And he's like, it's good. We're like, okay, cool. And he's like, yeah. And then we like talked to him, he's an old guy. And then eventually he was just like, can you guys just not talk to me? And it's like,
yeah,
fuck me, right?
Yeah.
Jesus. And then I got drugged, so that was great.
I try to give my man here like the authentic Des Moines experience. So
what's like, there? As I long as there was violence involved,
I could have took him to fucking Zombie Burger like everyone does. We went to Lachelle's instead because I've heard it's the best burger in the city,
which it was.
And then we went and got fucking Abelardo's,
Hessen House.
And
I've never been. I'm waiting for you.
Oh, fuck.
I think the original plan was all of us go, and we just still haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of all of us going, you guys probably would have had a good time at the tattoo convention.
Yeah, I would have loved it.
It was so cool. This is my first convention. Like, I have a lot of tattoos, but I've never been to a tattoo convention. And when he brought this up to me, I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go. And I went knowing that I was probably going to leave with something. I didn't go knowing I was going to leave with 5 more, and that's fine. But it's such an environment specifically for me, I feel like. Mm-hmm. I was one of the ladies that did my Courage the Cowardly Dog tattoo. I was like, I'm amongst my people here. Like, it's such a cool environment to be around people like-minded, but like art enthusiast. Or
Corey could have stayed in the bathroom shitting his pants. Would have been amongst his
this
people.
Is fucking great.
I mean, the bathrooms were decent.
They're right.
They had great hot dogs there. Not in the bathroom, but maybe.
Whoa, poor hot dog.
Hey, the hot dogs were right next to the bathroom.
Why?
Hey, who's putting a hot dog through this hole in the wall?
The only problem was they don't allow food out on the floor, right, like by the artist.
Which makes sense. Well, it's fucking open wounds.
The problem is they had like a fucking 12-year-old trying to enforce this, and he was a prick.
Yeah, he was a fucking cunt.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he wasn't actually 12.
He looked like it.
No, he was probably about, I would say 13 or 14 at the most.
He really wasn't like, you could have pushed him over probably, but like, Austin had a Powerade, and he's like, he gets up and he's like, you need to go finish that right now or throw it away. And Austin goes here and he shotguns a Powerade. And I'm like, okay. And then
then my man has a whole tray.
I'm like, fuck this guy.
Cheese balls. And he's like, in the cargo short pockets we go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they weren't for me. They were for Hannah. And before we walked away to go to the bathroom and go get something to eat, I looked at her. I was like, do you want anything to eat? And she's sitting there for a minute. She goes, ooh, those hot honey fried balls. And I said, I'll get them for you if you want. And so I bought them, and then I didn't even remember that they weren't going to let us back on the floor. And I was like, well, fuck this guy. And I shoved them in my pocket. And then we get back over there, and I go, so Hannah, I hope you don't mind, but
Dustin fed pocket snacks to a stranger.
I had to.
Your balls are in my pocket.
Your balls are in my pocket. And I literally just like slowly pull out this wad of cheesy goodness wrapped in napkins and go, here you go. I hope you like them. They were gone like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Between her and Charlie, they were gone.
So the whole crew, the whole tattoo crew is from Mutiny Tattoo. So Hannah did this one like on a whim last year. So then once they announced
she's done work for you before.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Oh, okay. She did the fucking aqua bison, the water buffalo. So I messaged her and I was like, hey, you're going to be at Middle of the Map. She was like, yes. I was like, I have this crazy idea for a tattoo that I've wanted since I was a teenager. And I think you're the person to do it. It's probably not the type of tattoo that you do or the style that you do, but like, I trust your vision. And she was like, yeah, let's fucking do it. So I sent her like all these ideas, and then she incorporated them into this awesome tattoo that like, it looks exactly like what I wanted in my head. So it was her who I met last year, her boss who started Mutiny like 11 years ago. His name's Benny. He's the fucking man.
He's the best.
He's the man. He taught me so many new sentences this weekend. and then Charlie, who, if it weren't for Charlie, I wouldn't have met Hannah. So Charlie is like, he's an apprentice
apprentice.
But he was just like, shop bitch last year.
Yeah, he was their call boy basically.
It was the first time he had ever went on like an excursion with them last year. He was at the table and I wasn't even thinking about getting a tattoo at this convention. My wife was, and I was just gonna go with her and steal as much free stickers as I could. And I was like, and Mutiny Tattoo had this sticker that was a Lego figure sitting on a toilet and then a Lego glory hole basically.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, it's on my little like ice cream sundae notebook.
Okay.
So I was like, can I take the sticker? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, are you getting tattooed? And I was like, not really. It's like, if you got a tattoo, what would you want? And I told him like, I've always wanted this water buffalo because my father's from Laos and raised water buffalo. It's like a cultural thing. He's like, that's fucking sick. And then immediately afterwards I was looking through Hannah's book and she had a lion like exactly the same, and I was like, I want that but a water buffalo. And then Hannah was like, what the fuck is a water buffalo? And so I showed her a picture. 20 minutes later, she had a stencil drawn up. And I was like, let's fucking do it. Let's take the chance. Yep. So that's how I met her. If Charlie wasn't such a charismatic fuck.
He's like, adorable.
Yeah, I wouldn't have met Hannah. But those three are awesome. They linked up with shit. Oh. What's the name of the studio from Kansas City? There was like three other artists that were there.
I don't remember.
They were awesome too.
We didn't really interact with them much. But
Cruz, Callista, and the dude on the end. I can't think of his name, but yeah.
Cruz is a cool name.
Cruz is
the shit. Was badass.
Cruz's stuff is like very, very heavily like Latino inspired. Yeah. Like,
of course.
Like the Joker mask, not the Joker mask, but like the theatrical mask. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
it's like one's like smiling, one's frowny, like has the tears.
The ones that the Latin Kings use.
Yes. Yeah. All of his stuff looked amazing. But yeah, so Benny.
Benny.
He
was talking about some like homeless dude that he would just pay money to do like odd jobs. His name's Dallas.
His name was Dallas.
And he's like, he would just like retrieve shit for me. It was like being friends with a raven. And I have said that sentence over and over.
Maybe a dozen times.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, he was talking about Dallas was a drug addict that would frequent the shop and just hang out. And he was just a cool dude. And he wanted to help around the shop. And he's like, okay, so you can stay around here, but I've got some things I need done. And
odd jobs.
He was telling a story about how he had him like go get a fucking oven that was like caked in grease and like drag it out into the middle of a fucking like busy interstate or something. Like just all these crazy stories. He had a full sleeve of dicks on his leg.
Yeah.
Like, what?
He's a free spirit. All right,
so this man found a meme on the internet. And it was a girl laying down on a bed, and then a guy was like standing over her, and his hard dick was out. And then the caption just said, "I'm a unicorn." So he has that girl tattooed on his leg. Just
but then it like
girl's
evolved.
Face, balls, and dick, and then a bunch of other dicks all over his leg. He's got a dick sleeve,
and he's got like sperm on his hand.
Which he's so charismatic. Yeah. That he was like, "Do you want to see my dick sleeve?" And me, I thought he meant his actual dick
sleeve.
And I said, "Yes."
And he goes, "No, not that dick sleeve, but."
Yeah. He's got a bag of dicks, like right here. Just it's like a little lunch bag, says dicks. He's the coolest fucking dude.
He was so charismatic that by the end of the show, I was like, "I need to be tattooed by you just because I want to be friends with you."
Yeah.
So I ended up getting a rocket ship tattoo.
Oh fuck yeah!
And a little planet just because I liked him so much.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I was like, I want to pay you not because we're friends now, but because you've been so entertaining. Like they didn't have to let me sit back there with you guys. Like I sat with Austin pretty much the entire time after I got my tattoos done. They didn't have to let me sit back there. They could have just told me to go fuck off. But they were it's like being amongst friends. It's like hanging out with you guys. It's like,
I'm not fucking friend.
Fuck you. I felt welcomed by them. I don't feel welcomed by you guys at all, though. But
what the fuck did I do?
You're in my
what
home.
What did you say fuck me for? Fuck me for? But no, it was cool. It was a fun experience. And like, I got to reach out to different artists with ideas that I have, like, that have just been kind of floating around. Like, I know I've told you this idea. I have a vision of I'm a big Dragon Ball Z fan and big wrestling fan. I see your eyes light up there. I've always had this idea where I wanted to take part of Majin Buu when he's like Kid Buu, and I want to combine it with the Fiend Bray Wyatt, where he's he's holding the lantern of his head, but I want it to be Majin Buu's head when he's Fat Buu. And I've always wanted to combine those together into one tattoo like thing. So it's like Kid Buu, but he's wearing the pinstripe Fiend outfit, holding his own head as Buu. And I was like, I don't know. I can't draw for shit. I have no artistic ability whatsoever.
Cool.
But I was like, that would be ballin' because Bray Wyatt was my favorite wrestler. Majin Buu is my favorite Dragon Ball Z character. I was like, I wonder if I could find somebody here. Lo and behold, we find this one guy. His specialty is Dragon Ball Z tattoos. He has a whole catalog of just things that he's drawn where he's done Weapon X Vegeta.
Oh,
it was fucking
sick. Phenomenal.
It was fucking
he's
great.
Done Cyberpunk Goku.
What's he? Okay, well, do you know a link or something?
Yeah, I've got
to get it from you.
Yeah, I've got his info on my Instagram. Yes. Because he told me, I sat there and I told him what my plan was. He's like, "I don't follow wrestling, but that sounds fucking awesome. I would totally do that. Send that idea to me. I'll draw it up and we can see if we can link up in like 6 months and get it done." I was like, God, let's go.
Yep.
And another lady that like she specializes in like 90s nostalgia. I was going through and I saw her stuff and her whole book is like cartoons from Cartoon Network, and I saw Courage the Cowardly Dog, and like me and my boys, we'd sit and binge watch all of Courage the Cowardly Dog together. So I was like, I gotta get a Courage cartoon for my kids. But like, she had like Invader Zim, she had a whole catalog of Rugrats.
Random question.
Yeah.
You said 90s nostalgia. I don't know why this came to mind. Any Saved by the Bell tattoos?
I'm sure she would have.
When you wake up in the morning and
yeah, I'm sure she would have. But like, if you asked her, I'm sure she probably would have. Like, but it was just like,
I don't know why I just thought of Mario Lopez so with cherry curls.
Oh yeah, right. Like, it's like 90s and like
it's just a tattoo with Mario Lopez. Stupid.
But yeah, no, it was cool. It's like just like linking up with people that have like similar interests. You're like, okay, this works for me. I would go back for sure. Like. Or even branch out to, like, they keep telling me, like, oh, yeah, we're going to be in Kansas City in a couple of weeks. I'm like,
yeah.
If I had another grand on me, I might just
float around Friday, there. The first day, you had a Fiend t-shirt on.
Yeah.
And, like, there was an artist that right away was just like, that's the new fucking Fiend shirt. And he was wearing a Cody Rhodes shirt.
Undeniable, undesirable shirt for Cody Rhodes. And I was like, well, we're amongst our people. There's wrestling nerds here. And,
yeah.
Yeah, it was dope. I loved it.
Bunch of cool people.
Yeah.
One of our vendors for our live event in June, I finally met her in person for the first time.
Was that the sword lady? Yeah,
Kate. She's a little cutie patootie.
I've had this idea for a tattoo. Like, I have the image I want to use. I'm going to see if I can't be ready for next year's middle of the map.
Dude, it's much fun.
I'll get a sleeve.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
Like, yeah. I have this whole idea planned out, so like...
Dude,
yeah. I'll get to sleep next year for sure.
That's the best thing. So middle of the map, very much like what Des Moines Con is doing now, where they're like, hey, here's a celebrity guest, you know, and you get to see who's going to be there months in advance. Well, middle of the map does that too for every single tattoo artist that's going to be there. And so then you can look at their fucking Instagram and be like, oh, this is the kind of style they do. And so that's what I did. Kind of. But I mean, I knew what Hannah's Instagram was from last year, and I went there and I was like, all right.
Let's go.
You're the fucking person I want to do this. But so many of my friends are artists now or vendors like Angela and Jason do Exude Beards. And like, it was just cool seeing them again. Like the whole weekend was just so much fun.
Yeah,
it was incredibly painful, but so much fun.
Yeah. I'm all bandaged up. Like, I've got a Courage here, but I said this earlier, he's Courage to Cowardly Blob right now. He looks pretty nasty, but yeah, I mean, like, I've got a whole space theme on this arm, and I got some rocket ships and some planets, another little rocket ship.
Why didn't you get the Planet Pizza logo?
It looks like it, but I promise it's not that. It's just because it's all blobby right now, but...
Should get Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah. They're actually... Benny had a quote for Infinity and Beyond with these two symbols, but I took that out. I just wanted the symbols.
Benny did a Bender tattoo that had like Bender in a big furry coat. It says Pimpin' Easy. Just did it on someone's calf.
And he's like, this is my favorite tattoo of the weekend so far. I was like, what about, you're fucking great.
You guys remember the robot Roberto?
In Futurama?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He liked to stab.
No. Oh my God. He did this tattoo on this lady. She was the most pleasant woman I have ever met in my life.
She was so nice, man.
Now, to say this, the tattoo was maybe the size of like half my thumb. It was a sheep. It was just a little sheep.
Very small.
She was going through his book and she found the sheep and she was overjoyed. She's like, I want the sheep so bad. And she was sitting there giggling and laughing and just having just the time of her life. And I have never felt so much positive energy from another single human being in my life. And when they were done with this tattoo, I mean, Benny was having a fucking blast. We're all sitting there laughing and giggling. And she was almost in tears with how happy she was with this little tiny tattoo that she got. If I could have just an ounce of her enthusiasm about anything... I'd be a completely different person.
Like that's awesome.
It literally may have been like an inch wide. It was the smallest tattoo I've ever seen.
It was
on her wrist. She fucking loved it.
That big around. And after she walked away, all of us, all five of us that were there were like, was she not the best person we've ever met? And Benny's like, she's the reason why I do this thing here. He's like, I wouldn't do this for money if I had people like her all the time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, otherwise, fuck everybody else. I don't care about anybody else, but for people like that, this is why I love doing what I do. I'm like, I'm amongst my people.
Mm-hmm. So the first artist that you got, like the moon and the rocket ship.
Yeah.
They're from Cedar Rapids, I think, yeah, right?
The one up here?
Yeah. I think that whole crew was from Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, Jake, I think.
So
Jake
we've got Parsons a... We've got an event in September in Cedar Rapids, but it's only on Sunday. So I say we go a day early, and we go with Dustin, and we all just get fucking tattoos on Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. I'm down.
I have plenty of real estate.
Yeah, you can
left.
Get the TRT shield. match your boy.
Not happening.
No. He needs to get like a tattoo column. Just TRT, TP.
Yep.
All the brands I've killed.
Yeah, all the brands he's killed.
It's my fucking murder sleeve.
But no, it was awesome. I'm glad we got to go.
It was such a good time, man. Yeah, it was fun. Everything I wanted to be.
Despite the little faux pas that we had here.
Yeah,
there,
well.
And you guys wanted to...
Just adds to the story.
You guys wanted to move on from this to WrestleMania, right?
Fucking WrestleMania.
I mean, we can definitely talk about WrestleMania. I know you guys are not as... Like, into it as we are.
To explain
everything. I don't have the access, but then again, Austin did point out, hey, it's on Peacock, so that's my fault.
Yeah.
I mean,
I want to say is, like, obviously we could talk about all of WrestleMania. I just want to talk about Cody Rhodes. Like, the most natural good guy in wrestling, like, the last, like, 25 years.
The most pure baby face ever.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't... Excuse you. I don't say ever, like, ever.
Yeah.
Without, like, I know there's the Hulk Hogan's, there's the John Cena's, there's everyone that...
Keep the hole off the
table. Hi, cat. But, like, he just personifies that everyday, like,
yeah.
I wish I could be like him, despite the fact that I know that he is a character.
The same way his dad did.
Yeah.
The same way Dusty did.
Yeah, like, he's just so pure. And it's just the whole story over these last couple of years.
And like I was telling you, like, I can't explain everything that happened with Cody Rhodes and that match without explaining, okay, I got to explain Roman Reigns. And then to explain Roman Reigns, I have to explain
the Shield.
To explain the Bloodline, I have to explain all of the Samoan wrestlers that came before it. But it was basically like 50 years of WWE history all wrapped up into one match. And like I said to all of my friends, was it technically the best match of all time?
No.
I would say some Will Ospreay, some Kenny Omega matches are probably technically better. But if you love that WWE style of like storytelling and over dramatic bullshit, that was the perfect match.
The best way to put it in terms of like modern things is... And I've seen this comparison a lot, but it is like Marvel Endgame.
Yeah.
You have, you know, Thanos, you have the Black Order, or is it Black Order?
Yeah.
And all that. And then you have, you know, the Avengers. At the end of this storyline, it was Cody Rhodes. He's your Iron Man or your Captain America or whatever you want to put in charge of that Avengers situation there versus Roman Reigns is your Thanos. And they've got their warring factions against one another. And for 2 years straight now, Roman Reigns has found every single way to cause...
4 years.
Well...
To Cody specifically, 2 years.
Yes, but for the Bloodline purpose, Bloodline's still a thing.
He had been champion for almost 4 years.
Roman Reigns has been champion since...
Which in this era... Like a normal title reign lasts like maybe 6 months.
I guess to put it into perspective, the person he beat for the championship is now dead.
Mm-hmm.
Bray Wyatt.
Wow.
That was the last time like the title had changed hands. Yep. But so when Cody finally came back to the WWE, there's always been this like the Rhodes thing is, you know, Dusty Rhodes never really hit that level of superstardom. Cody wants to finish the story. He wants to be the champion that the Rhodes family never got to be. So anyway, the Avengers thing, the comparison was at the end of this match, The Rock came back. He's been back for the last couple of months, and he's been a heel. He's been a thorn basically in the whole story because
he's a bad guy.
Cody won the Royal Rumble again and had the right to choose which champion he wanted to fight. And everyone assumed he was going to choose Roman Reigns so he could finish the story. Well, then The Rock comes back, and there's this little moment between them where we're like, oh, The Rock wants to fight Roman Reigns for the title because it's a family thing. And Cody steps aside, lets The Rock take his title shot, and you're basically like, okay, so Cody's being denied his spot because a bigger star come back and took his spot. And then it leads into, nah, fuck that, I want my spot.
So keep in mind, when Cody Rhodes steps aside and basically gives The Rock the title match, The Rock is a good guy.
Yeah, he's because the fans are like, it's The Rock. I mean, come on, it's The Rock.
And then once that happens, the internet goes crazy and they're like,
fuck The Rock.
Yeah, we don't want The Rock. We want
Cody Rhodes.
This dude that's been fighting for like 2 years.
Yeah. So then The Rock is basically forced into being on Roman Reigns' side because Cody's claiming his spot. Anyway, once we get to the match, I guess the way you can see it is like, okay, the Roman Reigns and the Bloodline, they are all fighting for Roman to make sure that the title stays with him. So who comes out first? First, it's
so
Jimmy.
Jimmy Uso comes out. He's a member of the Bloodline. Yeah. He comes out. He like beats down Cody Rhodes. To offset that, his twin brother Jay,
who is
comes
a good
out,
guy now,
who's a good guy, he comes out, takes out Jimmy, right? So then again, one on one,
so we're even
Roman
again.
And Cody, things are even. Then Solo Sikoa comes out,
which
bad
is
guy.
Another member of the family. Mm-hmm. He's Rikishi's son, right?
Yeah. So to offset that, fucking John Cena
comes back, and there's a story between that because earlier on in the year, John Cena came back to wrestle for a little bit during the writer's strike, and one of the people he fought was Solo Sikoa, and Solo beat the absolute shit out of John Cena to the point where John Cena's like, I think I'm gonna have to retire. I can't do this anymore. And so that's the last time we've seen John Cena, and then all of a sudden he shows up, takes Solo out.
Yeah.
So we're back one on one again. Then
The Rock comes out,
who now calls himself the final boss because it's The Rock. And he, I will say, to give The Rock credit, this heel run that he has been on has been flawless.
And it's gone viral too because it flooded my TikTok for the longest time. And like, I know the basis behind it all. I know everything leading up to it. The thing is, even knowing what it is, even being very, very aware of what wrestling is, what the storytelling is.
Wrestling.
It made me hate him so much, and it was so good.
And it's because it's so tethered in reality now.
Yeah.
The Rock owns part of TKO Holdings.
Yeah, he's on the board of directors.
Yeah. So
like,
he's technically a part of the boss.
Yeah, like, he's literally the boss.
He's literally the boss. That's what he's been playing into it. He's like threatening referees that he'll fire them if they don't do what he says in the middle of the match. He's like, you're going to count this, and if you don't count this, I'm going to fire your ass. And he'll literally say, I will fire your ass, like on live television too. And you're like,
what did he say at WrestleMania? The referee was threatening to like count him out because he was outside the ring too long, and he was like, it's empty. He said, stop the count. I don't fuck around or something like that.
Yeah.
Like
he's dropping F bombs here and there. Like,
a lot.
I was like, damn, Rock.
Yeah, like a bunch of his off screen antics.
Yeah,
off screen, like basically off the televised portions.
Yeah.
Have been going crazy.
Yeah, he's
too.
Been going hard.
So Rock comes out, eliminates Cena. Lights go out, gong. Lights come back on.
The
motherfucking Undertaker
is there, and we haven't seen the Undertaker for a while now since Bray Wyatt died. I think before Bray Wyatt died, and he shows up and he chokeslams the Rock, takes the Rock out. We're back one on one again.
Okay, so when that happened, because I think I saw it, and correct me if I'm wrong, if this is clever editing or anything like that. Like, Taker came out, chokeslammed the Rock, the lights went out,
yep.
And then when the lights came back up, no one else was there except Cody and Roman.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so that was like, that's so cool.
I think The Rock rolled out of the ring and then Taker.
But everybody gone.
Taker.
One-on-one.
That's cool. Yeah. I love that. So,
one-on-one, only Paul Heyman left.
Yeah. So, I mean, like the Avengers kind of style of like, they're all doing their things amongst each other. And finally, it just ends with the two there. And you're like, is anybody else gonna fuck around with this? Are we finally gonna get the conclusion to this match that everybody wants to see? Are we gonna get, because the stipulation with this match was if Roman wins, Cody cannot challenge for the championship again. He's out. He's done with that championship as long as Roman holds it. Or he becomes champion. Finally we get that, we all get that catharsis where Cody hits that repeat. Crossroads,
yeah.
Finally gets that 1-2-3, and it's like you can feel the air. Even watching it from home, you can feel the air change in that arena. It's just,
I grew up watching wrestling when Stone Cold Steve Austin was the biggest star in wrestling, and probably the biggest star ever in wrestling. When the referee counted three to end that title reign, Cody Rhodes becomes champion. Roman Reigns is no longer champion. And Roman Reigns has been champion since we were all wearing fucking masks in the middle of a pandemic. The loudest pop ever. Ridiculous. And they do a very old school, like NWA used to do this when a new babyface won a championship. They'd have the rest of the good guy locker room come out and celebrate with them. And he would give like a little speech, and they did that. Like, it was like, this means the world to me. Cody's mom comes in the ring.
You have to back up. Samantha Irvin.
Oh my God. So the ring announcer,
Samantha Irvin, which she's crying. To all credit to her, she might be one of the best announcers in the entire announcing industry today. She starts announcing and she starts choking up while she's announcing it. She's like you can tell like the emotion is there, that she's like legitimately excited that Cody won. And like, so she's announcing his name and you can hear her voice cracking. You're like, this is cinema. This is perfect. Yep. Like, if this was an actual movie, a 2-hour long movie of Cody's, you know,
struggle
from the beginning of when he was fucking just signed to WWE to when he went to his first gimmick of having a mustache, because that was a gimmick. Yep. Or no, that was his second gimmick. His first gimmick was he was pretty. So he was called Dashing Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then his nose got broken, so they switched his gimmick to put a clear face mask on, and he became undashing Cody Rhodes, and his gimmick was putting paper bags on people's faces. Then his next gimmick was he grew a mustache out, and so then he was a creep, and then they put him with a smart guy named Damian Sandow, and they were the Rhodes Scholars, which was a short-lived thing. And then they ran out of ideas with Cody Rhodes, so what are we gonna do? We're gonna dress you up like your brother Gold Dust and put a star on your face, and we're gonna call you Stardust. And then they ruined his career.
Yep.
And everyone's like, Cody Rhodes is never gonna amount to anything else. He's gonna be like his brother Dustin Rhodes, who when he first signed with WWE was untapped potential. He was known as the Natural, and he could have been huge, but instead they put him in gold face paint and made him a joke.
Yep.
And so Cody leaves the company after being miserable for years. He goes off, he paves his own path, becomes, as he says, he goes from undesirable to undeniable.
Yep.
And he comes back to the company and finally
started the rival company.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he started AEW. Him.
Speaking of which, I want to point out, did you see what happened with AEW and their.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. You already know what I'm going to bring up.
It's so stupid. CM
Punk.
Man.
The CM Punk thing?
Yeah. CM Punk is.
My God.
I've never seen that backfire so bad.
It was just.
They literally.
There's no way that could have gone
on themselves.
Yeah. There's no way that could have gone well, because I don't know what your end game was with that. Like, are you wanting people to think that, like, wanting people to turn on CM Punk? Because, like I told you, CM Punk fans are fucking morons. Like, they're not the same people as Trump fans. Don't get me wrong, but it's the same kind of thing where it's like, you could show them all the evidence in the world.
They're very loyal.
And you're still going to be like, nah, CM Punk's a shit. You could be like, Trump probably raped a woman. And they'd be like, yeah, but like, It's like that Dave Chappelle.
That's not a good comparison for like, CM Punk, by the way.
It's that Dave Chappelle thing that it's like, I mean, even if he did do it, you know what I mean? Like, it's right. That. Like, they're going to love him no matter what. And so they're going to love CM Punk no matter what. And you show him, and it, the video footage is exactly the same as what he said it was.
Exactly. In his interview. He's like, Jack Perry's kind of a dick.
Got in my face.
And
I got
my face
him,
and I pushed him back. And then I choked a guy. And that's fine. And that's exactly what they showed. Yep. And I think they were expecting, like, a sympathy thing. Like, hey, look. CM Punk's been doing great stuff on WWE since he's been back.
Yep.
Let's kind of boop on
I
the
think,
nose there.
I think they legitimately thought it was going to be like, so.
Like, hey, this is going to bring stuff in.
Yeah.
I legitimately thought people were going to like, I think they thought people were going to see that and be like, oh my God, CM Punk.
They're going to cancel CM Punk.
CM Punk is unhinged.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, some dude got in his face. He pushed him back. He like tried to double leg him and CM Punk put him in a headlock until it was, you know, broken up.
We were talking about this weekend.
And then it got deleted like. Almost immediately.
Yeah. CM Punk has been a miserable prick for the last 10 to 15 years. Yeah. And now that he is back in WWE, he is the happiest I think anybody has ever seen him. Anytime they show anything with CM Punk now, he is smiling. He is encouraging new talent. Like, he's always showing up in NXT backstage, like, trying to give, like, positive feedback. Like, he... I don't know what it is, but... I don't know if it's going to AEW and seeing what they have now, if that changed his perspective on the wrestling business, or if it's now that Vince McMahon is gone and Triple H runs that company and he can see now from the perspective of when he was there 15 years ago or however long it was to what it is now, how different the WWE is.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, I'm unhappy here. I need a break. I need to do my own thing. And then once he did, it's not that he saw how bad it was here, so we went back to WWE. I think it's more of, hey, I had a chance to do this. I was given this opportunity to just get it out and then come back. And because he had that opportunity, he comes back and he's just like, I feel fucking great.
It's like a weight's been lifted off of him because he just looks legitimately happy now.
I realized that probably, in my opinion, the biggest plot point of this whole story, we didn't even talk about. There was another guy that came out during all of this fucking hubbub. Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah.
So, I can't explain.
The workhorse.
I can't explain the whole story, but Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns were in a team together when they first debuted on the main roster. So they're in NXT. Seth Rollins is an indie darling. He was in Ring of Honor. He's in his mid-20s and he gets signed to WWE. He's in NXT and they're like, how do you bring this talented dude up to the main roster? Well, you put him with a fucking deathmatch wrestler, Jon Moxley, Dean Ambrose in WWE. And you put him with this rookie, this unproven rookie.
This hand-picked heir to the throne.
Yep. Roman Reigns. And they are the Shield. And ironically enough, they debut with CM Punk, basically help him win or successfully defend a championship. Anyway, they're together for many, many years. In like 2014?
I think 2014, yeah.
They break up. So
out of completely nowhere. It's right the day.
Out of fucking nowhere.
The day after WrestleMania?
It wasn't WrestleMania. It was like Backlash or it was in June.
It was after they fought Triple H and Batista and something.
So basically, like, they are a team. They're super dominant. They rarely lose. And out of nowhere, Rollins hits Roman Reigns in the back with a chair.
And to even go back a little bit further than that, of the three guys in the Shield, you have Roman Reigns, you have Seth Rollins, and you have Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose would have been, if you would have asked anybody, Dean Ambrose would have been the one to turn on this, at the time, face group.
Yeah, it looked...
And Seth Rollins would have been the glue to hold that group together, and Roman Reigns was playing more or less a third man group of that group. You would have seen Dean Ambrose turn on that group, and then all of a sudden, Seth Rollins, out of nowhere, grabs a chair, nails Roman Reigns in the back, and Dean Ambrose is just kind of standing there like, what's going on?
So 10 years ago, you have this image where Roman Reigns gets hit with a chair in the back and he like slumps over the second rope, right? So Rollins comes in with a chair. He is legitimately injured.
At WrestleMania.
So he hurts his knee. So he is slumped against the second rope on one side of the ring. On the other side of the ring, Cody Rhodes is like getting back to his feet. Roman Reigns takes the chair from Seth Rollins, who's injured. So he like stops the attack on The Rock. So he has this chair. And the whole story is, had he ignored injured Seth Rollins and hit Cody Rhodes with a chair, he probably would have defended his title.
Yeah, he would have retained.
Instead, that 10-year-old rivalry like consumes him. He shifts his focus to Seth Rollins, hits him in the back.
Blasts
very
him.
Similar to the way that Rollins hit him with a steel chair 10 years earlier, and takes his fucking eyes off the prize for like 2 seconds.
And that ends his title reign.
And that's what allows Cody Rhodes to win.
Immediately afterwards, fucking Cody wins.
Cinema.
Yeah. They tied like 5 or 6 different stories all into one, and then it ended so smoothly.
It was fucking beautiful.
So one thing I love about the fact that UFC and WWE are under the same banner at this point is we've gotten these really cool moments as far as how things are structured. So WWE now does like these press conference things that they never did before.
No.
And I think to their credit, it really helps and it works for them.
It makes it feel more legitimate.
It does. And so the reason why I bring that up is because Cody Rhodes was interviewed a few times, and a question was asked like, what was the probably one of the most memorable moments of your career? And he tells a story about his first time at Royal Rumble and how he took on Undertaker.
Yeah.
And Undertaker took a bump. And I was just like, that's such a good story.
So,
and I don't think we would have gotten that at any other time.
No.
Without these press conferences.
Yeah.
Maybe in like an interview or like a con or something like that.
Outside of the business.
To give context to people that don't watch wrestling, Corey, probably a good example. So the Royal Rumble is like a big battle royal. Mm-hmm. Starts with two guys every 90 seconds or 2 minutes, another guy comes in. When you come in as a new guy, you usually get your chance to shine. So you do a few cool moves. You look like the shit for probably like a minute. Right. So you get your kind of time to shine, and then it kind of goes back to Big Battle Royal. Then another guy comes in, looks great. Right. So Cody Rhodes comes out. He's a rookie at this point, and he's supposed to get his moment to shine. He does all of his crazy shit. Right. And he works with CM Punk, and everything that he had planned for his big like moment in the spotlight takes all of maybe 12 seconds. So then they just improv, and Undertaker is a legend who's been wrestling since 1990.
Yeah.
At this point, it's like 2009, 2010. Yeah. So he's been with the company for like 20 years. Jesus. Is the fucking man. And Undertaker's improv-ing the whole thing, and he's like, kick me. And then, punch me or whatever, and he takes a knee, which Undertaker's a big 7-foot guy, so for him to go down to a knee is like a big thing because he's like zombie.
So what happened? He attacked Undertaker, if I remember this correctly. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
He attacks Undertaker because Undertaker was turned away. Undertaker turns around, gets him in a chokeslam, and Cody had explained, he's like, all right, this is it. I'm going to take this.
Here I go.
Yep. And in the middle of that chokeslam, Taker tells him, kick me.
Yep.
And so I think he kicks him in the leg.
Kicks him in the leg, and Taker goes down to a knee, and Cody's like, what the fuck?
What do I do now?
And then Taker essentially is like, look, I know this is it, so like, do this. Like, he's coaching him on what to do. And he explained how much that meant to him. Mm-hmm. To have somebody of this status, like godlike status.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know wrestling very much, and I know who The Undertaker
is.
Yeah.
Godlike status, and he is taking a hit, and he is essentially taking a fall just so this new guy.
Just to give the new guy the rub.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, and I know, we know that you're pro wrestling prowess is not quite high, but I want to ask Corey what he thought of Jade Cargill. Never mind.
It's badass.
Yeah. Okay. You don't know who that is,
do you?
No.
Nope. That's fine.
Well, did you ever watch wrestling when you were younger?
No. I did to some extent, but not.
I always find it surprising that like some people like they know of it.
Yeah.
Like it obviously bleeds into pop culture. I mean, there's guys that there's the John Cena's, Cena, the Rock,
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Certain ones
that
was
the
one
I knew
like,
as a kid.
Yeah, there's certain ones that you just know, but like it just seems like pro wrestling is such a sport that like it feels like it's definitely tailored towards kids. Kids want to see superheroes fighting. Yeah. And it's such a superhero type of dynamic of like you've got a good guy, you've got a bad guy. And
speaking of superheroes, we need a Hurricane Return.
I mean, Hurricane was based off of my favorite superhero for the longest time. So, but I mean, it's like that dichotomy of the good guy versus bad guy thing. It's such a cinematic thing. I just love it.
There's a wrestler named Shane Helms.
Yeah.
They gave him a gimmick where he dressed up in this green costume the Hurricane.
That's not why I'm laughing.
He had a Green Lantern tattoo and they fucking ran with it.
Yeah, he had a Green Lantern tattoo.
I was going to say Isaac's mom.
When I call her the fucking Hurricane?
Yeah. Pro wrestling's awesome.
She hates him. Did I tell you guys that story?
Yeah.
So I was watching the Iowa Hawkeyes game.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, because he's a little cunt, Isaac was like, I'm going to cheer for LSU instead because I'm a fucking edgelord.
Yeah.
And so it got down to like the last 90 seconds of the game. It was very clear that the Hawkeyes were going to win. So I sent him a Snapchat and I was like, suck my dick and balls, Isaac. Let's fucking go, Hawkeyes. And that man opened up that Snapchat right in front of his mother. So she hates me even more than she already
Jesus.
Did. Jesus. Which is fine. You can't win them all. No. You know?
So with that being said, and I know we're going back to this.
Yeah.
So, Corey.
God damn it.
What do you want to talk about?
Oh, I'm here for you guys.
I love you.
I love you guys too. We got all of my antics out last episode.
Yeah, because you're not shit in the bed anymore.
Yeah, it sounds like you got most of your antics out in your pants.
Exactly. How much time we got left?
3 minutes.
3 minutes? Seriously?
Yes. Yeah.
Fuck. All right. We're gonna run this a little long then,
because
I wanted to talk to Dustin about this. We didn't get
to do it
last time.
Gotta go home to my wife.
My wife. Let's talk.
Bye, wife.
Bye, wife.
Bye, wife.
So, topic I brought up before we started recording was storytelling in live service games, and yes. The reason why I wanted to bring that up wasn't what Dustin came up with, but it's fitting. The reason why I brought it up is because I knew Dustin was big into live service, especially just the Rumbleverse Battle Royale game. I know.
Leave the memories alone.
So, for those of you that don't know, Rumbleverse was a
Battle Royale game with heavily relied on fighting and pro wrestling.
Yes. Like, you could jump off a building and drop a Macho Man elbow.
And by building, cool.
You
mean
play
like
Rumbleverse?
No. Skyscraper. Like, you can scale the building, climb all the way to the top, and then you can charge an elbow drop, and you fall like a meteor from the heavens and land.
Yeah. It was basically a Shane McMahon role-playing game.
Yes, it was the best. Like,
no, I never played it.
You could run around. It's basically it's like Fortnite, except it's a big city, and they'll have like weapons placed around the city, like steel chairs you can pick up, or baseball bats, shit like that. Huh. And then you have like a move set, and like each move set that you pick up, these like power-ups, basically. You can interchange them out like Fortnite weapons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like instead of picking up an AK, you pick up a power bomb and you use it, and each like it'll charge up different like levels of this power bomb. So you can start off with a blue power bomb and it's kind of a weak one, and then you move up to like a purple one and it's more of a intense power bomb, and then you move up to like a gold one and it's like it'll take you all the way up in the air and spin you around and fucking Batista bomb him.
It was a cool concept of a game. From what I've played, I struggled with it just because the mechanics, like I didn't understand the mechanics, because there'd be times where I'd go into a match, I'd be fucking souped up chasing after someone, beating the shit out of them.
And then they'll come out of nowhere and one hit you.
Yeah.
And you're like, what just happened? I love that game.
So
I'm terrible at Fortnite, so that's why I heavily leaned into this game, like, because it's just something that I felt like I could pick up and just run with immediately. Yep.
So Rumbleverse was the reasoning why I thought of Dustin for this. And then we got into talking about Helldivers, which we've talked about so many times at this point on this podcast.
Because I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part as well.
I ain't doing fucking shit.
Me. I ain't doing anything. But I wanted to specifically highlight live service games and the storytelling within those. Fortnite being a prime example. Every season, and even like speckled throughout the season, you get like little hints of a type of story throughout.
It's a constantly evolving story that's kind of underneath the surface.
Right. I think Fortnite knows exactly how to do it. They perfected it.
Yeah.
Call of Duty, for example, since Warzone came out, they started doing seasonal storytelling. As far as every battle pass, they'd release a cutscene for the new season, and it would more or less follow a story.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it just stopped altogether with Modern Warfare 3, which that's a whole thing. I don't get it. I don't want to get into the like nitty gritty details of it. Yeah. But essentially, they fumbled the ball with their campaign. They just neglected to do any continuance with it because you got the campaign leaving on a cliffhanger. The bad guy gets away. One of the main characters is dead. And we get nothing out of that.
There's no resolve from it.
Right. Normally, and this is what I expected, was, oh, they're going to pick it up with the next season. We're going to get, the 1-for-1 chasing after Makarov. And there's going to be some ending by it. It became very clear by season 2 that they've abandoned any sort of story with that, and that they're focusing on zombies. And so every season they come out with a new story mission for zombies, which is nothing. Like, there's no new content, nothing new for it. It's just, hey, here's an area slightly different from the other, but it's the same mission shit. There's
no diversity.
There's a cutscene that plays at the end of it, and that's it.
It doesn't tie anything up. It just kind of leaves you.
Corey had some mission shits.
Shit.
Then you have games like
Destiny 2.
Destiny 2.
I'm looking at Destiny 2 on your TV right now, and that's the one thing I wanted to talk about is that they have this game has been out for what? Fucking 10 years now, almost.
So originally Destiny was planned to be a 10-year cycled game. The first one. It didn't happen because they fucked it up. Rather than that, they were like, all right, we're going to release Destiny 2. This is going to be in line with the vision that we had. It was rough to go through.
Yeah, it started off really, really rocky, and over the last probably 3 years, mm-hmm. they finally hit their groove of they start off with a very basic story, but then their season pass tells more of the story, and it kind of they've got different activities that kind of build up slowly to what they're trying to lead to. And then it'll tie into the next season. And then they tell another new story. And they've done a really good job over the last couple of years of just like, here's a story. We're leading to something big. It's almost, I hate pulling back to like the Marvel stuff, but they're leading towards this big event that's eventually going to change the universe. And they've done such a good job of like just telling
and
a story.
Lightfall fell so short. Like, they had the idea of the Strand subclass, which is amazing, is cool, but it was lacking so much substance to it that like no one cared.
Yeah, it kind of, I didn't play it.
So each expansion has 4 seasons within each expansion. Lightfall was the last expansion they did. Now they're doing the Final Shape that got pushed back till June.
Which is supposed to tie the rest of this Destiny story up.
Yeah, the problem is I fell off of Destiny after everyone else I played with fell off. Now, everyone else that had originally fallen off have gotten back into Destiny, and they've been pestering me to do it. I'm looking at you, Kevin. Yes, I know. I said I'm coming back in. Don't worry about it.
Suck a dick, Kevin.
Yeah, really.
I actually really like Kevin. I would like to have him back on the show.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He's a very busy boy.
I love Kevin.
You've even met Kevin.
Yeah, he has.
That was Matt Miller.
Oh, that was Matt. I've met Kevin at his wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there.
Anyway. Yeah, because Corey replaced you.
What's up? I'm Keanu Reeves.
Fucking scab.
But, I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
It's an amazing movie.
But yes, I am planning on getting back into Destiny. Right now, I'm currently sucked into a little bit of Call of Duty, Final Fantasy VII, Helldivers. I'm only playing Tomb Raider because it was passing the time while I tried to convince my wife to let me buy Jedi Survivor.
Tomb Raider's fucking great.
But it's not Helldivers. Sorry.
Well, wouldn't know.
Shadow's the only one I haven't played.
Weed is great.
I played the others.
Shadow's the third one?
The third one.
Yeah. There's Tomb Raider, Rise, and then Shadow.
Yeah.
Shadow's the one I like the least.
Really?
Yeah, of the three.
I'm kind of liking Shadow.
It's I know. All three games amazing.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick a one I didn't like the most, it would be Shadow.
That's fair. So, Helldivers.
Helldivers.
We took out the automatons.
We took out the automatons. Those sneaky bitches.
Psych.
Then they were like, psych.
Gotcha, bitch.
Hit him with the old psych, nah.
And I showed you that TikTok before we recorded. Yeah. And there's something so fucking terrifying about seeing that happen in real time of them coming back and taking over territories.
Whoosh.
Yeah, okay. Their ships come in, the territory's getting taken over, the planet's getting taken over.
I have to be honest in saying that I knew nothing about Helldivers. I never played the first one. It looked like shit to me.
I played a little bit of it, and
I never played it. And the only reason I picked up Helldivers 2 is because everyone was talking about it, and I'm a tag-along. So whenever everyone starts talking about it, I'm like, well, I want to try it now because everyone else is doing it. And then I fell in love with this game more than anything I've played in years. I was telling you earlier, I bought Final Fantasy VII Rebirth with every intention of, I want to play this. I know what you're going to say. We'll get there. I wanted to play this game so bad. And then I made the mistake of 2 days later buying Helldivers, and I have not touched Final Fantasy VII since then. And I'm super disappointed about that, but also, Helldivers is so good.
You know the best part about it? After all this Helldivers talk, I convinced Joe Moore, who from Rude Katana, who created our Sydney Sunday anime girl shirt.
Her big titty anime waifu.
I convinced him.
Tifa?
Tifa, she's the girl. No, I convinced him to get it because he asked me a little bit about it, and it got to the point where I offered Corey to buy it for him. He's like, I can't because I got to focus on moving. I
can't
got life.
Commit to this.
I got shit coming out of my ass.
And then after I got Joe into
involuntarily.
It, after I got Joe into it, Joe tried doing it for Corey too.
What?
Yeah. He's like, it's $40. I'm like, I know.
And it's the best $40. I would buy 6 copies of Helldivers over 1 copy of
Call of Duty.
Yeah. I wouldn't pay $80 for a King Kong fist, but I would.
Look, I would, but I also know my habits. Like, I bought the gold jet on GTA, so.
But Helldivers rocks.
Yeah.
If that's where we're getting to in live action, or the, whatever you call it, live.
Service.
Live service games. Live service, yes. Yep. I'm like.
I said a thing.
Nice.
Yes. I will say that I love how they just keep pumping out new content for this game that only costs $40. Whereas, you know, any other game, like we saw the WrestleMania pop up on there, or WWE 2K24, $110 for 6 DLC packs. Whereas for Helldivers, it's $40 and they give you new content goddamn nearly weekly.
I thought you were going to sneeze.
So I was gonna sneeze?
Yeah.
I never sneezed once.
Bullshit.
Bam. Anyway, yeah, Helldivers is awesome. So, and you're missing out. You need a PS5.
Do I look like I have the money for a PS5?
You did just before spent $1,500 on a tattoo. You fucking dick.
Yeah.
Go take it back.
He's like, damn.
I want to return this. I need a PS5 in Helldivers.
She just pulls out a knife. All right.
So, speaking of which, Casper Van Dien's going to be at Des Moines Con.
And who?
Casper Van Dien.
Oh, yeah.
He did say that fast.
His daughter.
Casper Van Dien.
I don't know who the who? Fuck that is.
His daughter is also going to be there.
I legitimately do not know who Casper Van Dien
is. I don't either.
Oh, it's that ghost.
Starship Troopers, Rico.
Oh, yeah, it's the ghost with the fucking...
Oh.
The really friendly one.
I fucking hate you both.
He lives in an attic or something?
Man, like how are you going to say you just got Starship Troopers?
Didn't he come back to life as like a real cute
Starship
boy?
Starship Troopers. I haven't watched Starship Troopers.
Have you seen it before?
If I have, it was 15 years ago when it came out or whenever, and it sucked then, but now it's cool because Helldivers is cool.
Pretty sure my dad got in trouble for letting me and my brother watch that movie when we were kids.
So Casper Van Dien played Rico on Starship Troopers.
Gotcha.
I thought you meant Rico from the penguins in Madagascar.
So,
Rico,
Private
Report.
So he plays Rico in Starship Troopers. Even up until now, he's still playing Rico in like the animated movies. He also played Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat.
Oh fuck! Okay, I get it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I love that fact. But he's gonna be at Des Moines Con, and I want so badly to have some type of Helldiver related thing where Casper Van Dien's.
I'm sure that's all he's getting now.
Oh, he is. And he's
going to live off of that
he's full sending. Like he's leaning into it. They're trying to get him to do like a promo for Helldivers.
I'm sure he'll do some sort of cameo in that game, but
oh yeah.
I can't wait to see all the diver nerds at Des Moines Con. There's going to be so many of them.
Joe, I believe, has said he went to another con. Mm-hmm. And there was some girl walking around in like a Helldiver outfit, but it's very much like the propagandized style, like, hey, I'm going to dress up as a sexy Helldiver.
I'm a slutty diver.
I want you for democracy.
I was just gonna do that.
I want you for democracy and that kind of thing. He ran into her a few times, but he said, I guess he was too nervous to talk to her or too busy. I don't know. But
just mad Joe went to another convention without us.
I think
she didn't say something about closing her bug hole, did she?
Corey ain't doing a good job of doing that.
Damn it.
Oh shit.